Good morning. It's the 17th of April. Our New Testament reading today is John chapters 9 and 10. I'm going to read to you two sections from Brother Melva Purkis dealing with the man born blind. I read, "A thought of surpassing loveliness is often lost by the artificial break between the 8th and 9th chapters of John. If we link the two verses, it immediately becomes apparent. Following the dispute in the temple, the Jews took up stones to cast at Jesus. He went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as he passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Escaping from men intent upon his hurt, Jesus found the need of a man, a barrier he could not pass. Here is an epitome of his life. From the beginning of his ministry, this persecution had gone on, intensifying with the passing months until it reached its terrible climax. But it never interrupted his gentle ministration of love or dulled his ear to the cry of man. His enemies did not succeed in diverting him from his purpose, and, by a sublime paradox, when at last they nailed him to the cross, he achieved his greatest victory in satisfying man's deepest need. The blind man was probably begging in the precincts of the temple. The knowledge that he was born blind indicates that he was a familiar figure there, and his history well known. The disciples, puzzled by the general belief in the close relationship between sin and suffering, asked Jesus whether this man had sinned or his parents. The Jews persisted in believing in this connection, in spite of the lesson of the book of Job. They took it to illogical lengths, so that when they found a man afflicted from birth, they were driven to the point of proclaiming it to be the result of prenatal sin. That there is an affinity between sin and suffering, and sometimes a direct connection, Jesus did not deny. But to assume that connection in every case by a cruel scrutiny of the secret life of a sufferer was false in principle and morally wrong. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Jesus refrained from discussing the subject, confining his attention to this man's need and his power to help. God's purpose was that his work should be manifest in this blind beggar, and that by his natural and spiritual sight he would be a witness to the light of the world. As the shadows of this day were lengthening, so the day of his own earthly life was drawing to its close, and with it would go these opportunities of loving service. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." No more fitting work could be found for the light of the world than the opening of the eyes of the blind, unless it were the opening also of the eyes of his understanding. And such was his purpose now. We cannot leave this dramatic incident without briefly suggesting its lessons. As we have seen, the signs of John's Gospel contain the particular purpose of illustrating the great spiritual truths of Christ's work. This miracle set forth the claim that Jesus had made in the temple a few hours before. It showed him to be the light of the world. This beggar was a powerful symbol of the blindness and poverty of man, proclaiming his need at the gateway of heaven. The power to remove both is revealed by the coming of the Son of Man. We receive the commandment to go and wash. Sometimes it is a long and difficult journey. Often it is made shorter and easier by the friendly guidance of one who can see. Faith and obedience are rewarded. With the washing of the waters, we enter a new world, illuminated by the Sun of Righteousness. He is the light of the world. By God's grace, he has shone into our hearts. Thank you.